We're doing the Sefer Amidot. We're up to page Shin Chaf Gimel. We're holding at the tail end of this section on arrogance. We're beginning the final chapter on arrogance. Perek Asiri B'Tet Adam Elibo Ilat Mitziuto V'Avayeto Po Ba'Olam Hazeh. When a person thinks about how he got here to this world, Ki Nivra La'Hashagat Tachlit Rachok Me'od, and he thinks about what his purpose is in this world. Two things that we don't often think about. How did I get here? And what's my purpose here? Ve'lo yasigenu bilti miyevakshenu, and I will not attain my purpose in this world by going on autopilot. That's a very important thing. I want to challenge you now. You're in a bubble. It's called Machon Meir. But you all know you're going to leave this bubble. And as Hashem, you're going to build families, and you're going to find yourself in what they call the rat race, where you have to support a family, you have to take time for the family. There are so many things that have to happen on any given day without the extras. You know, you have to buy the food, cook the food, take care of the children, change the diapers, take out the garbage, pay the bills, pay the rent. There's a lot that keeps us busy on any given day. And even the strongest student at Machon Meir, when he finds himself 2, 3, 5, 10 years into marriage, suddenly life becomes a cycle of trying to catch up, and a person doesn't have time to pause and think. And you come into Shabbos and you've barely had time to catch your breath. You're happy if the rabbi gives a long speech because it gives you a little bit more time to sleep. You hope you come into Rosh Hashanah with a little bit of enthusiasm, but you can't help but think what's happening with your stocks or the customers whose calls you aren't answering because it is Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. And somehow, all that zest and excitement that you had is not there. I want to challenge you now to think forward 10 years and ask yourself, how do I hit the pause button? How do I ensure that I don't enter that race? Meaning the questions he asks here might seem very obvious to you today because you're in a yeshiva setting, but this isn't life. When you go out into life, suddenly it's very hard to stop your transactions and find time for mincha. It's this nuisance. What do I have to stop for? And a minion? Whoever heard of a minion for mincha? Come on. I'm happy if I remember mincha. So that's not the way it should look, but that's the way it could look. It could very easily deteriorate there. It could very easily deteriorate to a point where a person doesn't get out of his pajamas Shabbos morning. He wakes up, he rolls over, he looks at the clock, it says 8 o'clock. He looks at the calendar, it says Shachar starts at 8 o'clock. He looks at that and says, funny calendar, that's way too early to start on a Saturday morning. Even the cartoons don't start till 9. He rolls back to the other side and wakes up at 12 o'clock. Ah, okay, but what kind of Shabbos is that? So a person can very easily deteriorate. And once you leave the yeshiva setting, it becomes a new challenge to take what you've learned and incorporate it, make it a part of your life. One of the ways to ensure that it happens is to become active. Don't just be a participant in shul, be the gabbai. Be the one who gives out the candies to the kids. Be the one who's in charge of rolling the Sefer Torah to the right place. It'll force you to think a week in advance, what's happening this coming week? Is it Rosh Chodesh? Is it a fast day? It'll force you to be involved, and it'll make shul a happening place for you. Aside from the important contribution you'll be giving to the Jewish people, but you yourself will be a different person. And what I'm challenging you is to take this sentence we just read and find the time to ask yourself that question once, 10 years from now. What was the purpose? Where did I come from? And to what end am I here? Why am I here? What is my purpose here? So now you might be asking yourself that question a lot, again, because it's easier. That's the setting you're in. You're in a yeshiva. The key is to maintain that question. Within the setting of the rigmarole of life, you're changing a diaper, the kid is wailing. You know, I set an appointment with one of our alumni tonight at 8 o'clock. We were supposed to meet. So I send him a text message at 10 to 8. Are we still on for 8 o'clock? And he sends me a text message back. The kids are still awake. Now I understand him. I know exactly what he means. Because Friday night I was the one dealing with kids who wouldn't fall asleep and couldn't part. At 11:30 I was still holding the little one. And she does what babies usually do. She puts her eyes closed until you put her down and then she's wailing again. I know what it's like that kids don't fall asleep. But where do you find time when you're dealing with all of that? Where do you find time to stop and think about the meaning of life? It's so easy to forget that. You know, it's like the kid who comes to his dad and says, "Dad, I learned there's a God." And his dad says, "That's very interesting, son. Now tell me how that pays this month's bills." You know, that's what's on the father's mind. And that's part of a healthy life that is supposed to be on our mind. But we also have to find time to ask ourselves, wait a second, what's this all about? Where did I come from? Where am I going to? Ki nivra la'asik tachlit rachok me'od. A person was created to attain a purpose that's distant, not so easy to attain. It won't happen on autopilot. Ve'lo yasigenu bilti yivakshenu v'yichapsenu. And a person will not attain, a person will not reach his potential unless he strives for it. V'yamol b'chol chefetz levavov nafsho. If a person works really hard for it, then he can get there. But it won't happen on autopilot. We can be good observers. We have an observer, someone who watches every single class. He's going to see this one too. We have someone out in Europe, we'll say in Denmark, whatever, who watches every single class. And emails questions to me and other rabbis, and he says, he's got a lot of questions about what we study here. The catch is that he's not Jewish. So, from his questions, you'd think of course, he's observant. He's Jewish. You know, he's in the know. He's listened, I think, to all the classes that are online. But you know what? It's very hard. It's very, very hard to make that move. Is very, very hard. To observe, that's also hard. But that's, you know, it's informational. To make a move, that's hard. Come on. Huh? Lech lecha. Lech lecha. Avram only had to do it at age 75. So, the Magid Midubna says, you cannot attain your potential unless you invest all your might, all your energy into it. But brother, says the Magid Midubna, you didn't do that. On the contrary, you took time off. What you've really done, he's pointing a finger at us, and he says, what we've done is, we've forsaken our responsibilities. And we've forsaken that potential that life has offered us. And we've basically said, in modern terms, hey, give me a break. I want to do other things with my life. And in so doing, a person lets his soul, he lets it go desolate because he'd rather be doing other things. And one really forgets his creator, the one who formed him from the womb, the one who gave him life out of kindness. Now, notice, this is all the final, the concluding paragraph on the concluding chapter on arrogance, because this goes back to what he's been saying all along. A person can only be arrogant when God isn't a part of his life. So he says, yes, arrogance is an issue that every person has to one degree or another, and it stems from the fact that to one degree or another, we put God on the side burner, so to speak. We say, hey, let me do what I want. He says, even though technically, look at how minuscule we are, and what's our potential? But this goes back to what we discussed on Friday. Remember, or Thursday night. We discussed why buy a stock and not sell it. Why it's better to buy than to short. right? When you buy, there's no limit to how high up it can go. When you short, it could only go down to zero, right? So the Magen Midovna said that the person in this world has, let's say, potential X for growth, and there's also tremendous, tremendous potential for destruction. I don't know if we said the story of Lashon Hara this semester yet. The story of Lashon Hara and the pillow. A chassid comes to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I slandered someone, and I want to do tshuva, but you know what? I didn't keep it to myself. I said it to one person, he said it to the next person, and rumors have been going around, and it's all my fault. How do I do tshuva? So the Rebbe tells him, do you really regret it? So the guy says, sure I regret it. Would you do anything to take it back? He says, I'd do anything. So the Rebbe says, fine. Go to the marketplace in the afternoon, Thursday afternoon, 5 minutes before the sun sets, take a pillow, slit it open, shake out all the feathers, and then collect all the feathers, put them back in the pillow, and you'll be forgiven for your sin. So the guy says, Rebbe, that's all I have to do? The Rebbe says, that's it. Come back to me with the pillowcase filled with feathers, and you're good to go. The guy's very happy. He has a solution. Comes Thursday afternoon. He goes to the marketplace. He waits the 5 minutes before sunset, slits open the pillow, shakes out all the feathers, and starts running to put them back into the pillowcase. And he's running, but it's the late afternoon. People are rushing home. The wind is blowing, and the feathers start scattering throughout the marketplace. And he's catching one and another one and another one, and he leans under a bench and picks up another one. You guys have probably seen this when they throw candies at a chassan, the way the little kids will go, like every little one they're collecting. So that's what he's doing in the marketplace. He's catching another feather and another feather, and he's running around, and there he sees another one. And as he's running after that one, he sees 10 more flying the other way. And he's out of breath, and he's sweating, and an hour passes, and 2 hours pass. And he looks at his pillowcase. It's only a quarter full. Three quarters of the feathers are still out there. And throughout the night, he calls in his family members. They light candles. They're looking, collecting. Comes morning, he hasn't even half filled the pillowcase. And he looks around the marketplace, and here's one feather. And then he walks down there, and he finds another feather, but he doesn't see any way he'll fill the pillow. And he comes back to the Rebbe, and he says, Rebbe, I worked all night, but there's no way I could get all those feathers back into the pillowcase. And the Rebbe says, right, that's what happens with Lashon Hara. When we slander someone, when we say something, and then it starts spreading, there's no way we can put it back in. You can't come and ask me how you do tshuva, how can we take it all and put it back in? Now it's out there, the damage keeps happening. Says the Magen Midovna, we are given potential, we're given potential in both directions. And a person can harm much more than his own value, even though a person technically will say, I'm this little nobody. Yeah, but a little nobody can do a lot of harm. Good and bad are cycles. And the question is, which cycle do we start? And when a person says, God, leave me alone, give me a break, so to speak, what he's really saying is, let me get away with not living up to my potential, and let me get away with doing what I want that's so distant from what I should be doing, from living up to my potential. The Magen Midovna says, if we're talking about arrogance, arrogance stems from this idea of, leave me alone, let me do what I want. And that's where arrogance begins, because when a person sees his life as a series of tasks, I have potential, I have responsibility, there's something to accomplish in this world, so then where's the room for arrogance? Arrogance begins where I push God out of the picture, where my focus is, let me do what I want. So that's his first thought in this concluding chapter. Bezat Shem, tomorrow we'll continue, maybe tomorrow we'll merit to finish the section on arrogance.